Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy.
We're back, homies. What's good? This is the Bridge Millennial Podcast, and if it's your first time joining us, the Bridge Millennial Podcast is the shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. And my name is Shannon Ashlea, and I'm so happy to be here.
That's what's up, Shannon. My name is Rob, and I'm happy to be here too. Looking forward to today's episode. How you feeling?
I'm feeling like a queen. As you can see. All right.
Okay.
It's feeling like royalty. It's feeling very royal. And right now I'm feeling close to my ancestors. I feel like my ancestors have been trying to reach out to me in my dreams lately, as of late. And I'm trying to, you know, write down like in my dream journal what they're trying to say to me. I've had such vivid dreams. And so as a result, I went and got me a little 23andMe kit. Okay, because I need to find out some shit. All right, because my ancestors were speaking to me in Spanish, and I was like, "What? What's going on?"
Okay,
and I don't speak Spanish. So I'm feeling very queenly, and I know there's royalty somewhere back there. Everybody's like, "Everybody didn't come from royalty." Well, I did. So
I know that's right.
Anyway, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. Feeling good today. Also feeling really energized and rejuvenated. My intuition has also been a little sparky, but more in like the creative type of energy. So I am looking forward. I'm actually going to buy myself, get back into sketching, get back into some, I want to save up for a keyboard, get back into some music and stuff like that. You know, the things that we used to do before the internet. Before all of our artistry was channeled into social media, I want to get back to that type of a time. So my intuition is a little sparky, but I'm feeling good though. Looking forward to today's episode. Today we're going to have a slightly different. We're going to be talking about the outtakes. We're going to do an episode full of the things that we never got to talk about on the show. And
why are you giggling? And now sipping. I don't know what you have planned. This is what I'm like, what is he? I'm trying to figure it out like y'all, because
right.
I mean, so, I know there's a lot of shit that didn't end up in the
so
show,
much.
But I don't know. I don't know what direction you're going with this.
You about to find out. So, you know, one of the biggest things in the news recently was the current Renaissance tour that the Queen Beyonce is on. I just was like loving every moment of it. I haven't gotten a chance to go to the tour, but the highlights was breathtaking. And I was just like, wow, she is such an artist. She's such a visionary, you know? And one of the outtakes that I kind of was thinking of is a conversation that we had before. We actually said that we was going to air this out, but we never did. Oh, do you see where I'm going with this? You see where I'm going with this?
Just keep going, because I feel like a lot of people, I feel like some people are going to be mad, but I also feel like a lot of people, it's like on either side of this. So let's get into it. What are you trying to talk about?
Well, the reason why I want to bring it up is because I'm actually curious. I'm actually really curious about it. Tell me a little bit more about the relationship between Beyonce's body work and Khalees.
First of all, this is just such a small part of, because it's like you want to talk about Khalees specifically, but I do think that there is a larger picture, but we can get to it.
Get to it.
We can get to it. So everybody knows that Beyonce is someone who loves to sample. And I mean, that's the thing in the music industry in general. Everybody uses samples. Nobody's not using samples right now. So that's neither here nor there, but she did end up using one of Khalees' samples. Khalees felt some type of way about it, but the simple fact of it was is that Pharrell actually owned the track, so Khalees didn't really have a say in it. But she did feel a little slighted because she felt like, you know, as a fellow artist, Beyonce should have reached out to her. Beyonce did not. Now, one thing I know about Miss Knowles is that she doesn't communicate when she feels like she doesn't need to, okay? And when it comes to the money, I don't think that she felt it was her duty to say anything to anybody. I feel like there is a common thread with Beyonce and just the kind of the way that she does things, in which she uses people's artistry without giving them credit or accolades. That's kind of a normal thing to her, I think. Now, I can't speak for her personally because I don't know her personally, but I do know that her camp is known for doing things like this, and it's not cool. But of course, the Beehive attacked Khalees when I feel like Khalees' mother. Like, Khalees was the first girl to scream on the track. Okay. And then we have Beyonce with Ring the Alarm, who came first, right? You know, I feel like it's important to pay homage to people who came before you, because everybody who came before Beyonce had a part in creating the persona that is Beyonce. So I find it to be very interesting that she wouldn't reach out to her. But I mean, I don't know, like, that's the music biz, I guess. I also do know of some other instances. There have been other instances where, you know, she's used dancers and not paid them properly. She's used, tracks and not given these people credits. Like, this is kind of a known thing. And though she is a revolutionary artist, you have to kind of also think and recognize the people behind the scenes who are making her artistry come alive. And a lot of people who have done that have spoken out over the years. And all of y'all Beyonce stans, please do not hate me. But I do feel like, you know, on Beyonce's biggest hits, there's like 1,000 writers. On her biggest videos, there's like 1,000 people on set who are kind of pulling the strings creatively. And I think sometimes it does say something about her artistry. Is it her, or is she just like kind of a puppet vibe? And a lot of people have their opinions about that. So what are yours, Rob? I guess you can kind of see where I stand. I enjoy her music. But don't get me wrong, there are a lot, because that's what I'm saying. Like, I enjoy her music. I love the last album. Okay. But people are always going to say some things. I feel like I know somebody personally who was affected by something that Beyonce has done, because I do know a lot of people in the industry. And I just know that it's legally set up that way. A lot of times, if you're going to work with Beyonce, please know that they have you signing something that says that you might not get credit, and that's okay. Like, so, you know, always read the fine print, I guess.
Well, listen, I am that Beyonce stan that you were talking about.
Are you?
Okay.
Get out of here. I guess,
I'm the OG. I've been a Beyonce stan since I saw her on Smart Guy.
Now, don't get me wrong. I was a Destiny's Child stan for sure. But what I didn't really think was fair was that because her family was the management behind the group, she obviously got all the stardom. And I just feel like that wasn't... Because I feel like, as a result, I feel like Kelly Rowland, if you look at Kelly outside of what she's done with Beyonce and outside of Destiny's Child, she would literally be an icon right now. The voice is amazing, but I feel like, you know, being in that situation with her has kind of stunted who she could have become, because it's kind of like she's always in her shadow vibe. And I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think that says anything less about Beyoncé's talent. She's obviously immensely talented. Okay, so I'm not coming for her talent or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, I was a Destiny's Child stan for sure. And then when Beyoncé came out, I loved it too, but there are certain patterns over the years that I couldn't ignore. But my bad. Go ahead. Cause I'm like, you about to go into being a stan. Like,
I'm not gonna even drag it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna keep it real humble. Shout out to all the Beyoncé fans out there. I've been a fan since she appeared for the first time on television on Smart Guy with Destiny Child. I believe it was 92 or 93. And I fell in love ever since. I was a little bit obsessive as a child, to be complete. This is the outtakes episode. I had every poster, every photograph. It was pretty serious, but she is an incredibly talented artist, a world-class performer, and shout out to her. The actual conversation that we had, I talked to other people about it, and I found that people actually were more divided than I thought. Okay, this is the world, but people were actually pretty divided. And I do agree with you in terms of like the music industry having a history of kind of not paying credit to artists who contribute to the vision of the project and stuff like that. Tank actually has a podcast that I was just listening to, and he was on there with Victoria Monet. And
first of all, two of my favorite people. I'm sorry. I love Victoria Monet and Tank. I've met him in person. Is the most realest, down to earth. Like, he is so nice. But keep going, because I'm excited. I didn't even know this podcast existed.
Oh, yeah. He has a podcast. He's out. It's called R&B Money. And he brings different artists on just to kind of talk about like industry and stuff like that. But she was saying how like she knows the vibe and the feeling of like how sometimes you don't get credit for what you contribute to and stuff like that. So I am not going to speak on behalf of like the industry standard and stuff like that. I think that that's applicable to so many people. But what I will say is that when it comes to influence, I think Beyoncé has kind of surpassed a lot of her predecessors. She significantly did. And I think that even with the single influence of any particular artist removed from her artistry, she would still be where she's at because of how she like formulates her resources and how she applies that vision. I think she would have gotten here through many different paths that she's taken. But rumor has it, this is her last tour. People are saying that it's feeling like a farewell tour. So we will have to stay tuned. Shout out to Blue. She was eating them dance moves up. I was like, get him, Blue.
When the video first, you know, when she did the first concert, yeah, she was probably a little nervous. I'm sure she was a little nervous. Yeah. It's all these people. But since then, she's really caught her swag. She really got into that dance bag, and she's like, well, hold on, let me show you what I can do. This is the reason why mommy put me on this tour.
So another podcast I listened to, Shits and Gigs, they was talking about how like she literally has done this so many times. By the time this tour is over, her experience level is going to be crazy. Like, for her to just be so young, like, her experience level is going to be crazy. Like, her career, I'm looking forward to seeing what she does. Did you have an outtake that you wanted to throw in the mix real quick?
Yeah. Okay. So this actually, now this content comes from our very, very humble beginnings, when we were still trying to figure out how to record the podcast. We were still figuring out sound, acoustics. So some of these things we were not able to talk about just because we did full episodes and they weren't viable. We weren't able to use them.
Yes. We did like five. There's like five full episodes that just can't be used. That's crazy.
Yeah. What I want to get into is I wanted to get into our conversation about cults. And we actually kind of went into this on our last episode just a little bit when we talked about conspiracies, but cults are something that are hella real. And there were definitely some Hollywood cults that came out. Some of these religions can kind of be definitely cultish, but I watched this documentary once called The Way Down, and this was something that I had no idea about. So if y'all have seen The Way Down, I really want y'all to like sound off because that shit is crazy. If you haven't, check out HBO. There is like a four-part documentary. And since we talked about it, because that was almost 2 years ago now, the last two parts of the documentary definitely dropped. So just a quick overview. There was this church in North Carolina, and it was really kind of secluded. They had their own like property, kind of secluded in this area. And they had this cult leader. Now this cult leader, her first name is Gwen, but basically she started off as like this weight loss advocate in, I think, the early 90s. She had this weight loss program and it became this like really big thing, right? And people were losing weight from her program and it was like best thing since sliced bread. And that's why it's called The Way Down, because her original Gwen Shamblin is her name, but her original weight loss program was called The Way Down. So after that whole thing didn't work out for her, she went into being this church leader. And basically like her whole premise was that it's a sin to basically be overweight. And like, so she basically had these people starving themselves, and it kind of got pretty wild. There were some people who they were like abusing these children in the church. They had these really extreme ideals. The documentary is from the perspective of a lot of people who left the church, and what the church did to their families, what the church did to their communities, and what ended up happening at the end of the first two parts of the documentary. This is a true story. I had no idea that this happened. But right before the pandemic, all of the church leaders, including her, her husband, her son, and his wife, got on this private plane and the plane crashed and they all passed away. So we talked about cults, and we talked about religion as it pertains to cults, and kind of the mindset that, you know, you have to have and the types of people that fall into cults. And so I know, Rob, I know you know a lot about the psychology of that, because that's really what it is, right? You know, everyone isn't susceptible to being I don't want to say tempted, but everyone isn't susceptible to falling for some of the things that the cults use to draw you in, right? So I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit more, because it's crazy. And y'all, if y'all haven't seen it, please watch it, because it definitely sucked me in. The church is called The Remnant Church. She started kind of her own segment of Christianity. Was like her own religion. So they were able to make up their own rules, right? So it was just a little wild. And we kind of did like a little bonus episode. Just we all watched it and we all kind of like went in on it. It was crazy. So I want to get into that a little bit.
That's a really good one. I remember you told me, I watched it because you told me to watch it so that you're right, we never really did follow up with it. To first address like susceptibility, I would argue that everybody is susceptible to cult mentality. It's actually not as diabolical as people think it is. Cult is shortened for culture. They come from the same etymology. And the difference between a cult and an isolated culture and way of life is zero to none. So we probably are in certain cult-like aspects of everyday life. And the thing about these cults is that most people are made to feel like they can leave if they wanted to. You're just made to feel like you don't want to. And so that we did get into this a little bit with our last episode where we talked about like religion a little bit, but it's very easy to fall like victim to a cult. Most of the time it's like the ultimate gaslight, and it's made to feel like it's your idea. A lot of cult leaders and cult establishments are trained in being able to make you feel more empowered than you actually are. They also do a really good job at making you feel like this is like an illuminated way of life that everyone should be doing. But you just happen to have the secrets or the cheat codes. So they make you feel like you have a one up on other people. So it doesn't feel like a cult until you're trapped, into these different cycles and systems that you can't escape from. That's when the hammer comes down and it's like, boom, we got you. Not speaking from experience per se, but that would be the general pathology of like a cult, becoming a part of a cult, becoming trapped in a cult. And so for those reasons, I think now more than ever, it's really important for people to, if you have people in your life that seem like they're kind of wandering, you know, like they're not sure about things, they don't know who they are, okay? If they seem like those are the people you kind of want to check on. And if they're your friends, kind of just embrace them a little bit more, because not that those are the only people that fall victims to cults, but those are the people that's going to be likely looking for a place to belong. And they can accidentally find themselves in spaces that are designed to exploit or take advantage of them. On that episode, we talked about Nexium.
Yes.
We went down the list.
Nexium was like, you know, that was a Hollywood-centered cult. A lot of the people who fell victim, and some of the people who are still in jail from that, you know, were Hollywood actors looking for a place to belong and really, like you said, feeling like they knew some things that people didn't. You know, these people in the Nexium cult tattooed the cult's leader's name and with initials, which they didn't know. They thought it stood for something else. They all got, sorry, not tattooed. They all got branded. With his initials, yeah. With the cult leader's initials under the guise of it being something else. And they literally had no idea because they weren't looking. They weren't believing that they were being deceived. So, of course, they're not looking for these very obvious signs of deception like we had talked about.
And you know, too, about last episode, too, that's a great example of how, remember one of the questions for the Q&A, I said, are sociopaths and psychopaths better liars? They're not. But an example of, I think he kind of borders more of a psychopathology than a sociopath, but they share a lot of commonalities. And like, he just was charming to the fact that they believed what he was saying. It wasn't that what he was saying was more convincing or anything like that. He just, you know what I mean? He just found that direction. That's what I was talking about in terms of like, generally speaking, most people are really bad liars. most people are, especially if you don't have any formal training in behavioral psychology. You're generally a bad liar. You're not a great, great liar, but the trick of it all is finding someone who will believe your lies. And with cults, it's just finding the right group of people who will believe what you're selling. I find that most of the time cults have a target market. They're not ideas that's open to the general public. They have their eye on a certain demographic that will be most susceptible to their belief systems. That's why typically cults are within the same realm of lifestyle.
Religion.
Like military or, yeah, religion, or not even Hollywood mm-hmm. spaces, actors and actresses, or these type of people. They tend to try to grab similar types of people within the cult because they're experienced or better versed in marketing their lies to that particular audience.
Absolutely. And if y'all haven't seen these, they were really, obviously, they will blow your mind. Just because, like Rob said, anybody can kind of fall victim to these things, and you watch it and you're like, oh my God, that could never be me. The Church of Scientology, you have a lot of Hollywood actors involved in that religion. And you have some people who have spoken out about some of the things that, you know, aren't quite right about it. So both of these are on HBO, the NXIVM cult. The NXIVM sex cult documentary. I think you can watch this on HBO, and also The Way Down, all four parts. Now get ready for that one's a doozy. Is also on HBO. So yeah, I wanted to kind of like bring that back up because they, you know, they also added two parts since we talked about it, and they kind of just, you know, rounded off the story, and it was very interesting. The Remnant Church still exists. Yeah, the Remnant Church is still alive and well, and definitely, at least since they checked, which is like right, you know, during the pandemic, 2021, I believe is the last update, 2022, maybe, that we had from the church. But since the documentary has come out, more people have left the church and had, you know, their perspective shared on parts 3 and 4. So check that out. It was very interesting.
Dope. There's two other things that I wanted to bring up, actually both for surrounding Hollywood and actually surrounding the same family in Hollywood, I guess.
Damn, this is our Hollywood episode. This is the Hollywood Hollywood right? Unlocked. Hollywood Unlocked, for sure.
Exactly. We were actually actively recording an episode last year when I got texted that we were literally in the middle of a recording, and somebody texted me that Will Smith just slapped the mess out of
Chris Rock.
Yep. Chris Rock. And we were like, what? And we never really got to follow up with that story. We also never really got to follow up with the entanglement situation, particularly Jaden Smith's reaction to that, because him and August were actually really close friends. I don't think people realized that, like, they were tight. So with first starting with the slap situation, after everything died down, Will actually resigned from the Academy. He resigned because he was banned from all Academy events for 10 years. It was like a 10-year sentence. He couldn't have no Oscars, no Grammys, nothing. He could not attend. And because of that, he wound up resigning from the Academy. Now, I do think that that was a business decision as well, because we know that he did go on to do like movies. I think he has a movie out or something like that. And there was like hesitant, like people were hesitant to support that. And I imagine that because he was banned from being, well, attending any of the Academy Awards, people probably would be hesitant to work with him because they feel like their work will not be eligible to receive Academy Awards or be reviewed by the Academy if it was affiliated with Will Smith, which I can see that actually happening. But I wanted to know how you felt about the aftermath of that slap. And if you felt like that 10-year ban was appropriate, if you felt like his steps to resign was smart. I also wanted to know, like, how did we feel? Like, I realized that in the entanglement situation, we really wasn't talking about how Jaden may have experienced that. And since then, he's been kind of quiet. I know that sometime late last year, he did go on this whole, like, he was interested in possibly dropping his last name and didn't really want the Smith name anymore. I don't know if he still kind of went through with that or what the case may be, but I imagine that there's some very unhealthy, like, elements within that relationship from, you know what I mean? That just seems weird. Like, your mother is cheating on your father with your best friend. Or I don't even want to say best friend, but your close friend, like, to the point where y'all was close enough for him to just be coming over all the time and, you know, sleeping over and shit like that. Y'all was close. So I just wanted to know your thoughts on that. And yeah, that's the situation.
Well, since the whole situation has kind of gone down, we have been lended a little bit more information. I do believe that Hollywood families, especially a family that's always in the limelight, like the Smith family, I truly believe that they have a different standard for what is normal and what is not normal. I think that in our households, it would be extremely strange for, you know, the son to have a friend that then starts messing with the mother while she's also married. But in their unconventional relationship, you know, Will say it as well. They weren't really together at the time. They were separated. And they didn't think that there was any coming back from that. Also, both of them have noted how, well, Will specifically noted how, you know, he was the one who had no hope for the relationship. And so he never thought that they would come back from the moment that they were in. And so I guess her reaction to that was to kind of, like, you know what I mean, seek affection and love elsewhere. And so I don't really know how that feels. I kind of can't relate to that because I've never been married. But as far as Jaden, I feel like both of their children have had their own way of coming to terms with some of the things that have, you know, been said about their family. I just read recently that their mother introduced them to psychedelics, and that changed the dynamic of the whole family in general. And Jaden told the source that it helped him figure out true empathy being on psychedelics. So, like I said, I think that everything about their family is unconventional. I just feel like it's on display. And I feel like with Jaden wanting to drop his last name, I think that's probably, yes. I mean, it's not like you can not be affiliated with the drama just because you change your last name, because we all know that we all know who he is regardless. But I do think it has a little bit more to do with, like, nepotism and you know, his maybe his attempt to find his own path with his career and his attempt to, because they're those kind of kids. They seem like they want their own, path, not influenced by what their parents can give them, which is, you know, openly what Will and Jada have actually said. That's the way that they raise their children, to work hard for what they have and not to expect to have anything just because they come from a famous family. So to me, it's kind of right on par. And I feel like you can say it's connected to his mother and his one of his best friends dating. But I think it more is rooted in what they taught their children and the whole August Alsina situation. Now that we're kind of out of it, I think that I realize now that August might have made more of that situation for other reasons. I think it might have been, not to say a publicity stunt, but I think the outing of the whole situation started to look a little funny based on some of the moves that he made afterwards. So I don't know. I am a firm believer in we don't know what's going on in other people's.
You mean the fact that he made a song about it? But also
after that, he went on a celebrity show for washed up celebrities. And then after that, it's like,
yes. Oh, wait. Yes. You ain't have to call it a washed up celebrity show.
Celebrity, the surreal life, that's literally the whole premise of like the surreal life, Dancing with the Stars. We all know that these are things that celebrities use as platforms to kind of repropel themselves into the limelight. So it seemed to me that it was very publicity stunt vibes. And I get it, because it's like, on one hand, you're in showbiz, so you have to try to make money from that. But I also feel like if the relationship was as real as it was, I feel like things might not have gone down like that. But he sent, in the aftermath, because we didn't ever really talk about the aftermath and the things that have transpired since. But to me, it was giving very much so publicity stunt to the fact that nobody really pays attention to the shit that he be doing anymore. I mean, he may or may not have a boyfriend. They absolutely have like a skincare and beauty line together. Whoever this person is to him, a partner or whatever that may be. He's definitely a business partner. I kind of feel, yeah. And then like the whole Will Smith thing, the slap and everything. I mean, he had a book that was released right after that. Mind you, Jada's book drops in like a week or two. So I'm just like, this Hollywood stuff, sometimes it's like, what's real and what's not? What's a publicity stunt? What, you know, I start to really question like how many of these things were actually orchestrated. You know what I mean? Now I think that he let that slip and they dealt with it.
I don't know about that slap being orchestrated, because Tony was ready to fuck him up. Tony was Chris's brother. Tony was ready to fight. You heard Tony up there? Like he went off. Tony, I feel what you're saying in terms of, it's very ironic that these things happen and then immediately they're capitalized off of, like they're used to kind of traject some type of money-making idea. I do sometimes think, like, I wonder if artists and people in Hollywood just have like projects dormant and they're just waiting for the right timing where they have the most attention to kind of just launch it. Like, if people just have albums ready, or if people just have books ready, or, you know, little things ready, because it is kind of hard, especially in the age of the internet, it is kind of hard to just get that right wave of attention to release.
Because there's so much going on where we are just oversaturated with celebrity news, and like it, from day to day, it's, you know, it's somebody else we're looking at, you know, where you got things like Shade Room and Baller Alert and stuff like that. It's like, it's hard, and TMZ, it's really hard to, I mean, you really get that 5 minutes of fame and that's really it. So it is important to capitalize it on it. Now it's like, is it the chicken? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Was the book ready? Or, you know,
did it get ready? Because
they knew, that's what I'm saying. And it's so hard for us to really differentiate which came first and stuff like that. A lot of people, like when things like this happen, they're like, ooh, I smell a publicity stunt, you know. But there's a reason why the phrase publicity stunt exists, because they're real and people do them. And Chris didn't press charges.
No, he didn't. He did not.
And if it were.
But do you think that was, how do you feel about the sentencing of like being banned from the Academy for 10 years?
I think that it's neither here nor there, because I feel, I don't know. It's interesting. I think that, first of all, in a deeper conversation, I think for a long time, people have measured their work up against what the Academy thinks and what they believe. And, you know, we all know that these things were built in a certain space. And the Academy, you know, generally started off as being an entirely white establishment. So I don't think that it's necessarily bad that he has exited from the Academy, just because I feel like that won't make his movies or his work any less good. And I know a lot of people, especially like people who, because it's a lot of politics. A lot of recording artists have denounced the Grammys and the Recording Academy because they feel like they put all this hard work into an album. The people love it. Everyone loves it. And then they don't get their proper accolades because whatever the Recording Academy says goes. So I do have my opinions about these large groups of individuals who, quote unquote, vote fairly, because I feel like it could literally be anybody. So, I mean, I feel like him exiting the Academy. Now, I don't really know the ins and outs of the contracts or anything, but in my mind, it's not going to stop him from making movies and it's not going to stop him from making money. So I really don't see it being a big deal.
That's a fact. I feel like being banned from, I don't know. In quality, you're right. Like he's still going to be an amazing artist. He's still going to be an amazing actor, and his movies and whatever he does is still going to be great. But I just wonder if it was somebody else, would they have received the same type of? It just felt like for 10 years, it felt like you kind of was looking for a reason. Like it felt like, oh, we finally have a reason to get him out the way, type thing. Like 10 years. That's 10 years. That's just. It felt a little bit excessive to me.
But we do know that in 10 years, if he's alive, he'll still be making movies. He'll still be Will Smith. 10 years passes like this, especially when the older you get, the faster time passes, right? So in the scheme of things, think about how long his career has been and the longevity that he's had. 10 years ain't shit. But what really said more to me is that he exited the Academy instead of taking that punishment. I don't think that the punishment necessarily, because in the Recording Academy, not recording, sorry, in the Oscar community, if you think about how many, I'm sure there are still a whole bunch of old folks sitting on that committee that have been there for over 50 years. And in their eyes, 10 years ain't shit. And so I'm sure they deemed it an appropriate punishment, because you still have, like, you look at Meryl Streep, you look at like all of these people who have had, you know, careers 40 plus years. I think that it said a lot more that he left the Academy. And I think that, I hate to say this, but I think a lot more people should leave the Academy for less reasons, just because I feel like it's just hard, because, you know, it's hard for you to feel satisfied with your work as an actor as much as you climb, because the further you climb, the more you're looking like, okay, I want this Oscar, I want this. It's like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like this unattainable thing. And I feel like that can kind of be unhealthy, because if you don't get it, it can really, you know, send a shot to your self-worth. And those are the things that I don't agree with. You know, it's like the highest, it's like the Supreme Court. Look at the fucking terrible decisions that they're making right now. That doesn't mean that that shit is accurate, just like the academies. You get what I'm saying? Like, it just depends on all, it all depends on who's there. It don't mean shit. The Supreme Court just overturned fucking affirmative action. Half of it, you know, Clarence Thomas literally said that affirmative action was extremely necessary years ago, and then he just fucking voted against it. It's all politics. Like, it's all an illusion. So I commend him for leaving the Academy. Not because they were putting him on punishment, because that shit, it doesn't mean anything.
All right, cool. Well, I believe that's our time. This was fun. It was nice to catch up on some old topics and kind of close the door on certain things. If you guys are looking to follow us, which you should be unless you're already following us, make sure you hit us up on Instagram at The Bridge Millennial Podcast. That's where you're going to catch all of our updates. Comment on some of the clips. Let us know what you think about today's episode. And you can find Shannon at I Am Shannon Ashlea on Instagram. You can find me at Robert St. Michael. Remember to spell St. out. Don't put no S-T because it's not given that. Okay? Spell the whole thing out. And check out my podcast on all streaming platforms, The Group Sessions. And this has been nice. This has been nice. I enjoyed today. It was a good episode. Oh, well, I guess I have one more, but we can save that for our next time because I'm still not over this sitcoms and stockings thing. And I actually found somebody that's been a listener and actually agrees with me that that was your boo.
You're not going to bring that up.
We're not going to bring that up.
I never said he was cute.
Thank you. We're not going to bring that up.
The receipt.
What?
The receipt. Never. First of all, we just did a receipts episode. Please stop. Y'all check.
We didn't do this.
Yes, we did. Check the receipts episode on sitcoms and stockings. You will hear Rob talk about how sexy this man is. Like, for real.
Never.
I never thought he was cute. I think he looks homeless.
He
was homeless. No. What I was doing was I was commending, you know, his... I was commending his style choices and his I don't give a fuck about what y'all think about me choices, but I like never thought he was cute. I think it can be sexy when you are unapologetically yourself. I just don't think he's specifically sexy. But we move forward and we will see y'all on the next episode because I'm not doing this with you right now, Rob. Good night, y'all, and goodbye.
Bye.